It's Friday, August 18th, and you're listening to Wing TV. I'm Victor Thorne, flying solo today. Lisa had a previous commitment. We're heading into the weekend, and thank God we're heading into the weekend. This has been another one of them crazy, crazy weeks here. And Friday on Wing TV is going to be no different, so I want to give everybody a warning right now. If you're squeamish, if you're politically correct, if you're easily offended, if you're timid about taboo subjects, or if you're afraid to wade into the deep end of the pool, you better turn the radio off now because we have Mr. John Kaminsky. It's been a long time. John's the author of America's Autopsy Report, The Day America Died, one of the best 9/11 books written. We included it in our list of 9/11 evil. Also, The Perfect Enemy and his latest, Recipe for Extinction. His website can be found at johnkaminsky.com. All his books, all his articles are there. We'd like to welcome Mr. John Kaminsky. How you doing, John?
I'm great, Victor. Always a pleasure and an honor.
Well, we're glad you're here. It's been a little while, but as I said in this intro, we're not going to hold back today. And why don't we jump right into it, John? Why? Let's not beat around the bush. A couple days ago, we were talking about a concept that I call the Nazification of America. And when I say that, people sometimes misunderstand and they think that all our leaders are Nazis. That's where I'm going. But what I'm more trying to view or trying to portray is that during World War II, the country that was most hated in the world, of course, was Germany, the Nazis, okay? And everybody's wondering now why so much information about 9/11 is being leaked out in the mainstream media. I mean, they're the ones actually putting a lot of this information out now. And my theory is that this isn't an accident that they're doing this, that they're deliberately putting it out there, they're leaking it, then they're going to expose it when the right time comes and let it be known that this was an inside job, kind of like America's Reichstag. Now, I could go on and on about this, but let's stop there and give your thoughts so far on what I just said.
The principle of limited hangout. So much information has come out from sources that have turned out to be reputable that the meme is spreading that there's something wrong with the 9/11 story. I mean, how long have we been hammering at this for 3 or 4 years?
Heck
that,
yeah.
9/11 opens that window to permanent war, and it also opens the window to the real American history. So a lot of people have gotten a new glimpse of what's really happening. The minute you stop watching TV and go to the internet, you realize there's a shadow news perspective that is more accurate than what you see on television. What you see on television has become a joke. I was talking to a friend in Cyprus, and he said, John, what the hell are you doing over there? The whole rest of the world knows that 9/11 was a provocation to create the state of Jewish-run permanent war.
Well,
and then you correlate that with the Talmud, and you see the marching orders to shoot children in the head and go into Lebanon and have rabbis pronounce that it's okay to kill civilians because we have a political objective, and you have a growing look on the part of many intelligent people of the face of the damn beast.
Right, and on the day of 9/11, in the subsequent days and weeks after 9/11, the world was with us. They grieved with us. They felt the pain, to steal a line from Bill Clinton, the pain of this event, okay? But then, I think following his marching orders and doing a complete Hegelian dialectic, we have our figurehead president come out and say, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. In other words, you either support the Zionist Israeli agenda or you're with the terrorists. Well, already there was such worldwide condemnation of us in the weeks and years preceding the war. Now as time goes by, 2006, it's even stronger. So if the powers that be let it out completely or nearly completely, and that's the key word, nearly completely, that 9/11 was an inside job, that this was our Reichstag and it was committed by people inside the U.S., that's going to turn the hatred of America not only foreign even more against us, but even domestically, even our own people will hate this government. Is this where it's all leading?
Well, this is is what we discussed the other day, and the comparison to what happened to the poor German. When you read about 19th century German history, it's dotted with these Jews who have become icons of consensus thought, like Hegel and Marx and all of these famous philosophers. Jews enjoyed an unprecedented degree of freedom in Germany. Germany was like their promised land, and instead of thriving there, what they did was they took it over.
You're right.
Created a slave society, and when Hitler tried to take action against them, they resolved to destroy Germany, and now the United States faces the same kind of fate, losing their own identity to the Jewish octopus and being reviled the world over for being so stupid and vicious.
It's a mirror image, and John, let's remind everybody, the famous headline, Judea declares war on Germany. They moved into Germany, took over the country, and then declared war on the German people in their own country.
Right.
I mean,
they didn't do that here, but what they did, I was just writing this all down in another email. What they did, it's like, if you understand the last 200 years, if you gain a deeper understanding of all of American history, I like to connect three or four events. There was the takeover, the consolidation of the financial system by Rothschild,
yep.
who got his original stake out of funding German troops that were hired by the British to fight the American colonists. They were called Hessians. Rothschild, Prince William stole the money from his own troops, and then Rothschild stole the money from him, gave it to his son. His son went to England and took over the British financial system. Mm-hmm. That's the first event. The second event is Cyrus Schofield's tampering with the Bible, which made it friendlier to Jews. The third event is Freud's taking the work of Charcot about child sexual abuse and creating a system that has the same, which is now known as psychology, but it has the same dark, ominous, self-destructive overtones that the Talmud has. And, of course, the fourth thing is Einstein stealing the work of Maxwell and a bunch of other Italians and creating a system of doubt in our quantification of things. Then you tie that all in with the consolidation of the Federal Reserve, and you have all the world wars were over in 1913, and everything since then has just been a profit scheme to consolidate a slave society, which we are well on our way toward.
Well, and since you bring up psychology, I was just reading this morning, when you look at the father of psychotherapy, Sigmund Freud, again, another Jewish individual that's very prominent. So you look at all these main figures, as you said, and it all starts pointing in one direction where these prominent figures are. But when we go over to the Middle East now, John, it seems like there's a lot of questions, a lot of dissent in the nation of Israel itself, pointing fingers at the United States, pointing fingers at their own leaders. What went wrong? They were supposed to roll into Lebanon and go right through Hezbollah and so forth and start making their tracks towards Syria, Iran. Well, it didn't quite work out, even though they did destroy the infrastructure. They butchered and slaughtered innocent men, women, and children. It's all leading, everyone says, to World War III. Where does this put America if we officially begin, some people say we're already in it, World War III?
Oh, I don't know if I can contemplate that, Victor. It's like, you know, I read the Joe Biles type stories, and I think, yeah, well, that's interesting. But I mean, if these things start flying around, I can't contemplate it because it's unprecedented in its scale. However, where leaves America, in any case, is its finances are shattered. I don't know what's keeping it together except the bankers can do anything they want.
Right.
And it seems to be, the theory seems to be a slow burn and keep repeating this fire sale process, and the balkanization of America becomes a lot more because mm-hmm. they won't notice. It's like the frog cooking, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well,
but I think a really important factor is with the NAFTAization of the Western Hemisphere and the supposed merging of the hemisphere into one kind of financial state, and the destruction of the American army, the hell of the American reputation. I mean, let's get superficial here. The American army has been poisoned by their own leaders,
mm-hmm.
and they're bringing that crap back here, and I know it's just one more thing, but what happens if somebody really does mount some kind of challenge? According to our defense spending, we are so far, at least in terms of money spent, ahead of everybody else. But as we found out in Lebanon, when those gutless, murderous Israeli troops were routed by outraged peasants.
Right.
We see the kind of, we knew the kind of people they were. It's good that the rest of the world sees it. Now this report's out today where Israel was responsible for the Lebanon bombing that killed all those Marines back in the Reagan administration. So we're seeing the Israeli false flag technique. More and more people are realizing that. More and more people are realizing that our media is controlled by Jews. And, I mean, what kind of brainwashing has occurred in our own minds during the course of our lifetimes for us not to be able to see this Jewish octopus in so many areas, influencing all the debates that we have, and then trying to get more and more superficial. Since Bush became president, the stuff that has been coming from officialdom is so far from intelligent humanity that it's awesome to me that people who have gone to college and have some kind of responsible job can hear that crap and not say, arrest those people immediately.
Yeah, and not
we're
just
so far
scream.
Beyond that point now. We're so far down the rabbit hole of the coma that people out there in the world, in rural Florida, for instance, they're just parroting everything.
Oh, absolutely. And
they're not thinking at all.
Yeah. Well, in this review that I mentioned, you reviewed 9/11 Evil, my book that's out. It's on the Wing TV homepage. And when we were talking about this information about the truth of 9/11 moving into the mainstream, well, the one thing that it's so dangerous that isn't a part of the mix or isn't an element in this information that's going into the mainstream is, of course, Israel's central role in this act. And that's why there's so many gatekeepers in our own alternative media, Alex Jones, Mike Rupert, 9/11 Truth, all these other various spin-off organizations. They'll do anything humanly possible to push attention away from Israel's role. And when you're talking about people, everyday people, how they can't see it, why are there still, John, so many people, even in this enlightened people in the Patriot movement or 9/11 movement, that can't see this concerted effort to quell any discussion about Israel's role in 9/11?
I think in many cases, they're also blinded by their own dogma. When you get into, I had a discussion with somebody about Hal Turner this morning. Who the hell is Hal Turner? I mean, he rails against a lot of the stuff that's going on, but when you scratch a little deeper, you see these overtones of, like, Reverend Hagee in there, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this is really the problem with Internet radio, as you know, and the 9/11 skeptics movement and all of the movements to bring some kind of consciousness to what's going on. There is this, well, Wentz is the perfect example, where he has all these valid stories that are very important, and people start trying to circulate them around. But
uh-huh.
as is also true with Alex Jones. My girlfriend really found it good when she watched an entire 2-hour and 15-minute video of that was produced by Alex Jones. In the first 2 hours,
Oh my God.
So this this lends credence to the people who are afraid of Alex Jones are justifiably so. You know, it's like we discussed this the other day about how do you tell a gatekeeper?
Yeah.
And for my money, the easiest way to tell a gatekeeper is when somebody says Zionism is different from Judaism.
Right.
And refuses to acknowledge the existence of all those other isms like communism, Illuminatism, Frankism, whatever ism, those are all Jewish movements. Those are all Jewish false flag operations, only not in the real world, in the human mind. And they're designed to deceive you and to hide the identity of the planet's real human problem, which is Jewish dogma.
Right. Well, this has gone so far, and we covered this last week on Wing TV, that Lisa was in one of these 9/11 groups, one of these ones up an offshoot of 9/11 Truth, and she starts talking about Israel's role in 9/11. Well, of course, there was a firestorm, Bill Douglas, and then the moderator, Lori Price, actually concocted a script of approved conversation in regard to Israel and 9/11, and she said, this is the script that everybody has to stick to. Well, obviously, Lisa did it, and guess what happened to her? She got booted from the group. So now, and everybody else in the group, John, just accepted this script. It's straight out of the pages of 1984, and yet they're truth seekers in their own minds.
It sounds like the 9/11 Commission, eh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Lori, I happen to know Lori Price, and I know that she is she's really great at producing anti-Bush stories, and you have to differentiate between Lori and the organization she works for, Citizens for Legitimate Government. But we went around about this about 3 years ago, and Michael Rechtenwald, who runs the place, said he would never permit the use of the word Zionist on his website. So there you have the limited usefulness of Citizens for Legitimate Government.
Well, you know what I compare it to? Is if we were talking right now about prohibition, but we weren't allowed to mention the words Al Capone or gangsters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that's exactly what they've done. So, well, let's go back before we move on. Last, to this notion of World War III and this Nazification of the United States. If they bring us down, John, the United States I'm talking about, and they start leveling war crimes against this nation, and more than likely the ones that deserve it will be the ones that actually slip out of it conveniently. But what I see happening is this European unionization of America, okay? So it'll be the American Union. They'll pacify us. They'll pass legislation about certain words or subjects we're not allowed to talk about, just like in France and just like in Europe. We'll have to make reparations to some kind of world government, just like Germany's been doing. Can you see where it's all going?
I certainly can. We're going to be shut down, and we really only have ourselves to blame, because we've refused to see it for a long time. One of the themes I was harping on about 2 years ago was that 9/11, if you saw it for what it was, it opened up a window to American history, and you see the whole falsehood reappear. And I've kept, and you have too, kept digging for all of these things for so long, and we have been so impeded by people like Mike Rupert, who thankfully today has announced he's leaving the country.
He's already gone.
We can all applaud that.
Yeah.
And all these people who appear to be leading us toward it. The two 9/11 conferences were very instructive, the two big ones this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones was the head of one,
yeah,
and Maria Heller was the head of the other. So you begin to see, and you definitely have in your new book, you begin to see the layers of disinformation, where first Kyle Hintz gets booted out of the 9/11 movement for his obvious connections to big money.
Right.
And then Bill Douglas and whatever the other major one is are revealed as not really digging too deep or doing the Lihop thing or something that created a lot of activity and petitions and things like that, but was going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the, I think, the best empirical researchers did it for a while and then said, I'm getting the hell out of here because there's too much crazy stuff going on. And then you have the crazy guys, which is probably too vague a description of those who focus on high-tech trivialities and don't stick to the most effective course of action, to hammering law enforcement with the obvious cover-ups about 9-1-1. And I'm not saying anybody will ever get through, but you have to keep beating down their doors with the fact that those towers couldn't have fallen in 10 seconds under any circumstance but serious assistance from some other force that we never heard about.
And you know, John, when I talk to people in everyday life, face-to-face, and I explain this to them, it takes me about 120 seconds, about 2 minutes. And in 2 minutes, you can see the blood go out of their face because they understand it. If you explain it in just terms of physics, dropping a baseball off a tower takes 9.2 seconds. And then you say that the towers were 1 billion pounds of mass, yet the person's feet are going to hit the ground at the same exact time on the morning of 9/11, falling through these towers as the baseball does. And they say, my God, it's impossible. How could that happen? Well, there's only one way. Pre-planted explosives to take out all the resistance of the towers. And in 2 minutes, they get it. That's all it takes. And you don't need all this minutia and rabbit holes and flying off in a zillion directions. It's all right there. It's so simple.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let me throw this by you. We had a guest on our show last week, Christopher John Bjerknes. And I asked him, I said, those who continually talk about the culprits, the New World Order, the globalists, the Illuminati, the internationalists, all these very vague, shadowy descriptions. I said, is this being deceptive to their audience when they fail to specify who the enemy is? And he said, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you, why are people so apt to accept these superficial solutions or explanations instead of going to the true heart of the matter? Why are they just willing to accept, well, it's the New World Order, and just stop right there and not look into it? Because you can't convict the New World Order, you can't take the New World Order to court, and you can't throw the New World Order into jail. Why are they so afraid of specifics?
I met somebody recently who had gotten a master's degree in finance and had never heard of the Federal Reserve. And the way we're brought up, it's like it's impossible to think beyond the president level.
Uh-huh.
Somehow the president, and this, a conversation for another time, is how this ties in religion and the connection between religion and money. But just in terms of general perception, we go through school thinking, man, a president rules the world.
Oh, yeah.
And as you get older, and this is something nobody learns in school because the schools are controlled by the government. So when you get into middle age and you start to become well-read and look behind the scenes of things, you realize that there is a serious, serious power structure above the level of president that affects all our lives in ways that we can't even calculate because they're also the same guys who've given us our education. So it's a matter of digging through the illusions, penetrating the veils, and understanding it. And that's why you see so much of your really incisive commentary now coming from older people, because it really takes a long time to wade through all the deception. Now, when we get to 9/11, there are so many groups now, rah-rah groups, I think rah-rah, and I don't mean to insult anybody's personal effort at trying to understand, mm-hmm. but you and I both know that down many of these paths are curveballs in the last 10% of them that take you in a way that is completely unproductive, that swerves you off course. And, of course, we both know, and the really small number of people who are trying to be public commentators who are pointing out that if we don't understand the effects that Jewish penetration in thought and in finance and in every area of our lives has actually changed who we are and put us well on the way to the slave system of human society, then we're not going to solve any of these problems.
Well, and you're absolutely right, because these people being led down these rabbit holes, it's not accidental. It's deliberate, and I'm thoroughly convinced that these groups were established and set up pre-9/11, and you know, all the big groups that we're talking about today. And John, since you mentioned Mike Rupert, let's touch upon that for a second. I read his extended article today, and here's my... he's in Venezuela, and you know, it's funny, because we got tipped off to this a couple weeks ago. Here's the inside story. He had this big supposed break-in at his office, right?
Yeah.
Computer smashed. Well, the inside story is that this was an inside job, okay? The PD up there in Ashland, Oregon, are very much interested in Mr. Mike Rupert as the suspect, okay? Well,
That's where Rents is, or used to.
You're right. How coincidental is that? Now, I got it tipped off to this a couple weeks ago. They said Ken Levine, who's Mike Rupert's publicist, scurried Rupert down through California into Mexico, and he hopped a plane to Venezuela. This was 2 weeks ago. So, and they said it's because he's running from the PD up there in Oregon. Well, I called Ken Levine, who I've talked to before, and said, "Hey, Ken, did you have anything to do with this? I heard you're the one that scurried him out of the country." "Oh, no, it wasn't me. Mike's working on a big story." Well, now Mike in his article admits that Levine was the one that scurried him out of the country, and he's running from the cops. That's the inside story. But anyway, here's my quick analysis of Rupert. He comes on the scene. He's the super ex-cop, okay, trying to bust the CIA for drugs and everything. Then, days after 9/11, his two big functions, draw everybody away from controlled demolition, draw everybody away from Israeli involvement. Then after he gets busted for that and exposed, then he tries to get everybody on the peak oil scam. Well, nobody buys into the peak oil scam, or not many. And finally, I think they just hung him off the dry and said, "Well, your usefulness is done to us." So what's your overview of the role that Mike Rupert played in trying to get people deliberately on the wrong path?
It's funny, as you were describing that, it kind of sounded like the Noriega track.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm very grateful to Mike Rupert, because Mike Rupert got me started on my 911 quest.
Uh-huh.
Somebody forwarded me an email of his, and I said, "Holy cow, look at this guy digging in here." But he also did something else, and really, Mike Rupert set the tone for everything I've done, because, like, a very short time after 9/11, I think it was December when he went to speak in New York,
He
announced to this crowd all these great things about the stock options and the air defenses and things that were legitimate avenues for study, and then he concluded it by saying, "And Israel had nothing to do with it."
I thought to myself,
how the hell can he say that?
Yeah.
And so that is where I've been. I've tried to stay empirical on it. I've tried to resist the notion of some of these exotic things, although some of the exotic guys, notably Holmgren, Gerard Holmgren, in producing the material questioning the two flights that supposedly crashed other than in New York, Holmgren did some really good research, but he was into that group that insisted that describing the exotic technology of the event was far more important than tracking down the people who did it.
Right, and it becomes, they're so far into the matrix, into the rabbit hole, into the maze, that they're in another world, you know. But you used to be in fairly close communication with Rupert, but then didn't you tell me finally he just called you a lunatic or something just to break it off?
He was testy to me and I was testy to him.
Uh-huh.
And that was the end of it. I tell you, I lost it with my group when I found out that his real passion was karaoke singing.
Well, he's singing the blues now, John. He most certainly is. But, all right, we got a couple more minutes here. Tell everybody how they can find your website, name your books for them, and tell everyone what they can find on your website.
Thank you, Victor. JohnKaminsky.com, KaminSki. Haven't put out anything new, but a lot of my recent stuff is on there, and the books I sell are on there, and any help anybody can give me would be much appreciated. In the past maybe year or so, I have kind of modified my focus into trying to find out who is really doing all this stuff. And it's like every avenue I took, I found this great blank out about things Jewish and Israeli and Zionist. And then I saw all these endless arguments by Jewish writers like Henry Mackall about how the Jews were innocent victims of this evil Illuminati that was predominantly Jewish, but from all I could distinguish about the behavior that they were engaging in, it was just like the Talmud. So that when some Jewish writer would tell me it's not all Jews, I would stop and say, hey, look at your own holy books. And the only defense any Jewish writer has ever furnished to me was that Jews don't know what's in the Talmud, and they plead ignorance that they don't know what the Jewish power structure is really doing.
Mm-hmm.
I take that, no matter who it is, from Noam Chomsky to Amy Goodman to Norman Finkelstein to Hisham Talawi, if you accept that crap, then you're part of the problem. You're a gatekeeper, because it is the Jewish philosophy that is the real problem with the world right now, and you see it manifesting everywhere in the term, in all these false flag wars that will be done by the false flag operation run by Israel on 9/11. Yeah.
Or, John, what they'll do with the Talmud is either try to do everything possible to veer away from it, ignore it, or minimize it. Minimize it as something, oh, well, this is something in the past, this is old, and we have nothing to do with it today. But that's as, if you read what they're saying in this Talmud, it's the same philosophy, the same type of attitude that's in their attacks on 9/11, their wars, their bloodthirsty manner. The Talmud hasn't gone away, has it?
Oh, no. The next time anyone listening, when you engage a Jewish person in any kind of conversation, I want you to ask them to tell you about the Kol Nidre Oath, which they say every year, even if they're not real followers of the Talmud. This is like a family tradition, where you don't have to tell the truth. And so I want you to ask that Jewish person, why should I bother to listen to you, to anything you say, because you have a holiday, Purim, which celebrates unjust slaughter.
That's right.
And you have an oath that you take every year that makes it okay for you to lie to a non-Jewish person.
Well, John,
that means anything said by a Jew is suspicious.
You took the words out of my mouth with the Purim. Real quickly, describe to people what the Purim is, this festival that still is in existence today.
I'm not terribly familiar with it, but it's a celebration of the slaughter of Israel's opponents.
That's
and
right.
In keeping with the spirit of the Old Testament and the Talmud, which is about a God who orders his people to rob and kill and makes it okay as long as they don't kill their brothers and just kill everybody else. And that's the situation we have as we've just entered a new millennium on Earth, where the minds of most of the human inhabitants have been shaped by this subterranean Jewish infiltration that now is creating a radioactive landfill in so many parts of the world.
And when you combine that with their permission to lie and deceive the goyim. That's all of us. When you put those two things together, you see exactly the state of the world today. Last question, John. Someone asked me the other day, well, they said, well, tell me exactly who the Jews are. Tell me who the Jews are. And I said, well, you know what? My focus, per se, isn't on the Jews itself. What I'm looking at is the Israeli government and the subsequent Zionism that we see today, and also the religion, which is Judaism. Those are the two focuses. And when you look at those two things, then, it ends up, see, they try to divert everyone. Well, who's the Jews? What are the Jews? What do you have against the Jews? And they try to divert it away from the crux, really, their government philosophy and their religion. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's completely racist. To them, to all their leaders and their best spokespeople, Jews are a different species than ordinary human cattle and all the other terrible names they call other non-Jews. And they all Jews joke about this among themselves. It's humorous to them.
And how can all of these apologists look themselves in the mirror when, either knowingly or unknowingly, they're being referred to and mocked, as you said, the cattle?
I don't know what to say about that, Victor, other than that Tishan Falawi has a menorah on his website.
Very interesting. Well, John, this is the state of the world today.
You did a great book there. You did a great book that comes right down through the whole list of things, the whole list of main objections to Judaism, the whole list of main objections to the 9/11 story, the list of characters who desperately need to be investigated. Just imagine if Larry Silverstein were investigated. It would be like pulling up the root of a plant. All these judges would come flying up, and DAs like Spitzer and politicians like Pataki. All of these people would come flying out of the ground and be revealed as just warmonger politicians who took a big payoff to keep their mouth shut.
Well, and the big cover-up artist Rudy Giuliani up in New York City in his bunker in WTC7.
That's still Rudy to you.
Yeah, and John, when I read your review, when you sent it to me via email, I immediately wrote back and I said, you get it. Damn it, you get it. And I'm hoping that other people, when they read 9/11 Evil, the ones that are at least willing to read it, and it's been a great reaction to it so far. But
hey, what's your take on the Bolin bust?
What's that?
Christopher Bolin?
Uh-huh.
What's your take?
Well, we're going to possibly be on Piper show tonight. I'm not sure. So, we did a show yesterday on it, and there's some open questions, but, we're going to see if we're going to be on tonight. So we'll take her from there.
Cool.
All righty. So johnkaminsky.com. Everybody take a look at it. His articles are out there. And John, I'm glad you're back. We're going to have you on again. And, as I said, this show wasn't for the politically correct, but there are people out there that have open eyes and open ears, and they're listening to someone with an open mouth that's not afraid to speak the truth. So thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Victor. Keep doing your stuff. It's great.
All right. Take care. We're going to be back on Monday. Everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy your weekend. Get out. Enjoy this weather. And until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.